Well, good morning, everybody. And we're so grateful to be with you this Easter morning, 2020. You know, today we celebrate the beginning of that new covenant that God has brought into our lives. We celebrate the prophecies being fulfilled, speaking of the coming of Christ Jesus. And you know, one of the funny things that we notice right off the bat on Resurrection Sunday, and that is that 364 days a year, we tell our children, don't eat anything we find on the ground, right? And then on a day like today, whatever you find, you can keep, you can eat, no matter where it is. Find it, go look under bushes, in the dirt, everywhere else. And so, you know, as we celebrate this day, it is, I believe, the greatest day in the history of the world. We know there's another greater day coming when Jesus comes to gather us up, but I believe that this day is the greatest day the world has ever seen, heard of, and can experience in a new birth in Jesus Christ. And today, I'm gonna need you to sit up, pay attention. Come on, get your Bibles out. Let's go. This is a Sunday service. It's a little bit different today, obviously. Things have changed, but God is still on the throne. And so this morning, as you sit up and pay attention, and as we remind ourselves of that saying that we do every year, He is risen, and you say, He is risen indeed. Come on, I can't hear you. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And so this morning as we celebrate it, you know, this is sort of like preaching in the shower. You know how much freedom you have in the shower? There's nobody around and you can just let it rip. And so this morning as we have fun in the kingdom of God, when we have joy because of the Holy Ghost and because of the power of God's word in each one of our lives, it is a day of celebration. No matter what's been going on, right now is a day of celebration. You need to look at somebody sitting next to you, if there is any, and you need to say, right now is a day of celebration. Right now. Right now. We're not waiting for the future. Right now is a day of celebration. In the midst of it all, I'm celebrating all that my God has done for me. And if you're single and you're home by yourself, text somebody. Wake them up this morning, someone who doesn't normally watch, and say, hey, He is risen indeed, and I am celebrating the life in Christ Jesus that He has given me. You know, I believe that probably the greatest question in all of Scripture is found in Job chapter 14 and verse 14, part A. And it says that if man dies, will he live again? I believe that's the greatest question that has to be asked by every single person. Maybe you're out there and you've pondered this and you've wondered about what happens to me when I die. Well, I'm so glad you asked this morning because we're going to take a look at the Scriptures and see what Jesus Christ accomplished, what God's plan was, and then how we can live in the midst of it. And, you know, today I just labeled this, Just As He Said. That's the title for today, Just As He Said. You know, and we know that each and every one of us, we know that on Good Friday, we already shared that how the body of Jesus Christ was beaten, was crucified. Those stripes He bore were for our healing. The chastisement was placed upon Him, ours. All of our sins were heaped on Him. And this morning, as we're reminded of that, you know, we know that on the on Good Friday, He was crucified and He was buried. And on the third day, He rose. And, you know, when it comes to death, I believe that on our death certificate, there's one section that says cause of death. And I believe that really it should only be one word on cause of death. And that word should be sin, right? Because for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is life eternal through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so that's what I think. Everyone should have just one word, a stamp, sin, every time, because we know that's what happens. The wages of sin is death, but there's a gift that comes. And today, oh, we get to celebrate that gift in Jesus Christ. In the New Testament phrase, and instead of death in the New Testament, it uses the phrase, they have fallen asleep. And I love that phrase so much better in the New Testament. And the reason being is when you fall asleep, there's an expectation. The expectation is you're going to wake up. Listen, that doesn't mean you fall asleep right now, all right? I know some of your thoughts. I know you didn't go to bed too early. But look, this is not the time to fall asleep. This is that time when you have awoken, you are awake, you are ready to worship your God and to be reminded of the love that he has for each and every one of us. Amen? So this is not about dying. Jesus, he was crucified, he was dead, buried, and now this is the third day that we're looking at. This is a day, and it's the greatest one that the planet has ever seen of, heard of, and we get to experience. You know, there's some of the history is that they didn't wait once a year. The early church, they celebrated sometimes resurrection every week. And I believe that's probably the same spirit that we should have every Sunday when we do get together. Right now, we can't. But as we do get together, that same thought process is every time we come together, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. it's truly in my heart, the greatest day, the greatest event, the most powerful thing that's ever happened on this planet. And so today, if you have your Bibles or on your phone or your tablet, we're going to take a look at Matthew chapter 28. So if you would turn there, Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to start in verse 1. And we're going to read right on through to verse 20 today. I'll be reading out of the NASB. And whatever version you have is fine this morning. And it says in verse 1, "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, the disciples met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me.' Now while they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, 'You are to say his disciples came in the night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ear, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble.' And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews and is to this day. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for today. We come before you, O God. We come as your sons and daughters. Lord, we come in a time that we've never experienced before, but we're so grateful that we've experienced you. And in experiencing you, we've experienced peace. We've experienced your comfort of the Holy Ghost. We know that he is the one that leads and guides us and guides us each and every day. In that comforting, in your wisdom, with understanding, we walk out these days. Father, we're so thankful that because of you, our hearts have been opened wide, our understanding has grown. Lord, we have found rest for our souls in you. And Lord, today we find our rest in you. Today we find our rest and our trust in your word, for your word never returns void, but always accomplishes that which you sent it to do. You sent your word and you healed us. And Father, we stand upon that. And when we look to your word and we listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, Father, then each day becomes a day of victory. Each moment is a moment of joy in the Holy Ghost. And each time, oh God, that we open up our mouths, let it be with words of victory, with shouts of joy. Let it be that we would bring wisdom into each and every situation. And Father, that as we're reminded of your word, lo, you are with us always, even to the ends of the earth. We thank you this morning for giving us yourself. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son to die in our stead. Thank you for sending him, that all of our sins would be poured out upon him. And the place that was void, that place where we weren't allowed to cross, that great void where we weren't allowed in to your presence. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Father, for making a way for each one of us to enter into your throne room. Lord, we bless your name today. We open up our hearts today. We allow you to come in. Fill every home this morning. Fill them up, oh God, right now. Stir every heart up into faith and good works. Thank you, Father. Lord, where there's heaviness, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, where there's an uneasiness, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, your love, your peace, your faith, let it rise in every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And the scripture says, or as we were reading in Matthew, and I'm reminded of what the scripture says, where it says that the angel of the Lord had come to prepare a presentation for the King of Glory, right? And what an honor to be chosen to come down and prepare the moment for the King of Glory to step out of that tomb, proclaiming once and for all that there is no God like Jehovah, and that death, hell, and the grave have been defeated. And I was thinking about, as the scripture was talking, how the angel came down, and it says that there was an earthquake. And all I can do, come on, you got to picture it with me now, right? It says that there was an earthquake, there was like lightning, he was white, and the guards, they just fell out like dead men. And all I can see, we need somebody to make a movie, right, of that angel coming down, and he's moving. When he's coming down, he's bringing the full force of eternity with him, the whole force of heaven. And when he hits the earth, and when he hits, every rock around him slowly levitates and comes up. And there's a crack. The earth opens up because of the power of God, the manifestation of God on the earth. Jesus preparing to come out of the tomb. The angel hits. Everything rises and everything settles. And the guards just fall out. Oh, what a picture that is, with lightning hitting all around. I'm telling you, my heart just rose up on the inside of me thinking about it. And then as that angel just sort of took and just flicked that stone away and then jumped up on top of it, the scripture says that he just sat on the stone. He just sat on that, which took men, many men to put and push and cover that sepulcher. But yet the angel just shoves it aside and sits on top. And I don't think he was slouching when he was sitting, like so many might be doing right now in your living room. All right? But I don't think he was slouching. I think that he was preparing. I think that he was ready. He was at attention, sitting ready to watch the Son of Man, the Son of the living God, step forth out of that tomb, proclaiming, stating, it's finished, it's done, the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and now the resurrection of the King of Glory. Oh, what a visual. And I believe that needs to be a movie. I believe that. And one of the first things that the angel says to the women, and I believe it's very pertinent for today, do not be afraid. He said, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. And then in verse 6, it says, he is not here, for he has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he was lying. And it reminds me of, or I'm brought back to Psalm 16 and verse 10. It says, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. And this was a prophecy spoken about Jesus 1,000 years. 1,000 years prior to him rising from the grave, he already said, listen, you're not going to leave me down there. He's just as he said. All right, and this is where I believe that we have to get to. We've got to get to a place where forget what everybody else is saying, and we're going to have to agree and just go by just as he said. And he said in Psalm 16:10 again, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. 3 days, and he's coming back, just as he said. If there's ever a time where we need to grab a hold of it, it's now, not what they said. Can I tell you, there's a lot of things that are being said out there. There's a lot of lies that are being propagated. There's an exaggeration. There's deflection. There's manipulation. All of these things are going on if you want to watch what man says. And what man has to say is quite limited in its wisdom. And whether he's trying to manipulate the numbers or whether they're trying to come up with some kind of foolish idea of how this started, I believe that the church, as the church, we need to let all of that stuff, lay it all aside. Let's not build our conversations upon it, but let's go back to just as he said. Come on, tell the person next to you, just as he said. Text the person if you don't have anybody, just as he said. Put in parentheses, reminding them, it's whatever the Lord Jesus Christ has spoken, that's what I'm going to stand upon. Because what he has said, he has accomplished. And in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, it says, for now, this is before Jesus was ever crucified. Again, just as he said, he's preparing the disciples. He's trying to let them know, but their natural minds can't comprehend because nobody has ever raised themselves from the dead. It never happened before. Now, Jesus is preparing them as best he can, talking about a dynamic outside of any of their realities, outside of anything they could possibly comprehend with their natural minds. This is what Jesus is preparing them for. We know, as we look at it in hindsight, even the things that many people struggle with when they look at the Word of God. Think about these men. Even though they walked with Christ, he starts to speak things, and it's so far beyond them that they can't fathom it. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, he said, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus is speaking this. Look at, he's preparing everybody. This is long before it happens. Nobody knows. These guys don't even realize he's going to be crucified. They don't know, but his love for them is so deep, and he wants it. He knows that eventually it'll click, right? How many things have we dealt with, or how many things have we looked at in life that maybe when we first got saved, first started walking with Jesus Christ, we heard pastors preach sermons or prophets come in and prophesy a word over our lives. I remember some of the words that have been prophesied over me. I'm hanging on to one today that was spoken over my life, and I'm waiting to see it be manifested. Some of them have already come to fruition. But you know, when it was spoken, it was so far out of here, out of my realm, out of the possibility of reality for me, that I just sort of stored it back in a file, right? Because we know that guys, we can compartmentalize things. I put it in a box and just left it there and said, does not compute, no comprende, have no clue. Those guys are out of their mind. And so we do that with men that are speaking words that are lining up with the written word over our lives. These guys didn't have a written word. They were living with the word of life, the living word, Jesus Christ. But Jesus is speaking because he knows that one day it'll click. And you know, it was maybe about 5 years later after I was prophesied over one of the major prophecies in my life that Pastor Fink had prophesied over me. It started to come to fruition, and all of a sudden I brought that bag and said, what? Huh? That's what that means? Oh, that's what that looks like? Because I had nothing to gauge it by. Nothing. And that's what Jesus is doing with his disciples here. He wants them to get to a point where they trust what he says. And I believe he's doing the same thing in each one of our lives. He wants us to get to a place where no matter what's going on around us, we'll go back to just as he said. And so he said he would be in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. Nobody's ever heard of that before. When you went in the belly of a fish, you were there for more than 3 days and three nights. You were there for a long time until you became carpet on the bottom of the ocean, if you will. In John chapter 10 and verse 18, another time Jesus says, no one has taken it from me, but I lay it down of my own initiative. Here's Jesus once again. He's prophesying, he's speaking of his life, what he's getting ready to do. Nobody's going to come and take his life. This was already proclaimed before the foundations of the world, the scripture said. His offering was already spoken about. They had already planned it. It was already taken care of before the foundation of the world. Jesus was saying to his disciples, listen, guys, don't worry. Nobody's taken my life. I'm going to freely give it up for each and every one of you. And he came in a power and in an authority that man did not know. He came with a humility that no one had ever walked in. He came with understanding that was beyond natural man. And as he walked, not only did he say, no one has taken it away from me, and I lay it down on my own initiative, I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from the Father. He has the authority. He's telling them, look it, trust me in this. I'm going to lay my life down. As he said before, it's going to be 3 days and three nights. This is the only thing I can get you guys to have an understanding of. You've heard of Jonah. It's in the scriptures there. So you're going to have to see this beyond your understanding. He said, I have the authority to lay it down. And then some of the most powerful words he ever says, I have the authority to take it up. Because many men have the authority. Every one of us have the authority to lay our lives down. Some, their lives have been taken from them. But right now, we have an opportunity to lay our lives down and to serve our fellow man. We have that authority. Each one can take your life and lay it down. But we don't have the authority to pick it back up again. Only he had that authority. And that was a commandment. That was something that was spoken, as we said, before the world was formed. Jesus had already been prepared to be that offering. And there was no other way that this had to be done. We know in the Garden of Eden in chapter 3, when man, when Adam and Eve sinned, when they their arrogance of wanting to be like God and their disobedience being deceived, and also their disobedience, all of that falling into one, we know that death was there. Death is not the devil's. God created everything, right? But nobody had access to it until sin came into the world. For the wages of sin is death. So until death, God said, listen, if you eat of the fruit, you shall surely die, being separated. But then he removed the tree of the fruit of life, of eternal life from the garden. There was death that came in through sin. Jesus now is coming. He's saying, hey guys, listen, I'm coming. I'm getting ready to destroy the works of the enemy. It's going to take about 3 days. I'm going to be in the belly of the whale. No man is taking my life. Listen, it's going just as he said. It's going just as it was written. John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Listen, I just wanted to put that there. We're going to have to agree just as he said. Just as he said. In John 5:24, he said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Jesus said, I'm going to give up my life. I'm going to lay it down for the sin of all mankind. We are once and for all going to make propitiation for sin for anyone that wants me, that receives me, that agrees with me, or that does just as I come on, come on, said, just as I said. And we know John 3:3, it says, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. As Jesus was laid in that tomb, he said, I'm going to be 3 days and three nights. But he says, I'm coming back, just as I said. And I'm going to show you, I'm going to have something with me. I'm going to have the keys. I'm going to have all the keys. All the keys, everything that the enemy had received in the Garden of Eden because of man's sin, I'm going back and taking it because he's going to shed innocent blood. I'm going to be able to go into the depths of the earth. I'm going into the darkest place that there is, where all the hordes of hell have been hanging out. Now, when I go on that cross, all the sin, all the suffering, all the weights of the world, everything, every demonic thought, every demonic activity, every perversion, all of that is going to be poured out upon me. Every single disease and virus is being poured out upon me on the cross. Speaking of what he was going to accomplish. And then as he died, taking the sin of the whole world upon him. And then on a third day, he came out with the keys in his hand. And he said, sin will no longer have dominion over you. Up from the grave he came, victorious, triumphing over his foes, making us triumphant. He came out and he said, devil, you're done. You have no authority anymore. Jurisprudence, innocent blood was shed. Adam and Eve, they broke the rules. You broke the rules. Now I'm taking back what's mine. I'm taking back what's mine. You're defeated once and for all. He made a show of him openly prior, the enemy trying to bring him to a place where he would quit. We're reminded as he was tempted in the desert when he was fasting. Three times he was tempted. Three times he said, it is written, or it's just as he said. That's what Jesus was agreeing with. He was agreeing with the Father. The Father said, here's my plan. Jesus said, I'll walk in obedience to your plan. He said, I'll lay my life down. Nobody's going to take it, but I'm going to pick it up again. Oh, what powerful words for each and every one of us. I'm going to pick it up again. Maybe you feel like you've been down. I want you to know Jesus wants to pick you up again. Maybe you feel like you've been overwhelmed. I want you to know he's ready to pick you up again. That's the power and the authority and the life that is in him. He is the way, the truth, and he is our very lives. All of it was accomplished at Calvary. All of it was fulfilled the day he stepped out of the tomb. When he stepped out of that tomb, every single word from there on has the full power of all of eternity when you agree with just as he said. You know, in Matthew 22 and verses 37 to 40, he talks about love. Love the Lord your God, right? With all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. This is what he said. Can I encourage you? Just as he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Maybe you don't feel like you have a whole lot of love. Maybe you've been walking in fear. Maybe you're anxious. You know, we see so many people walking around with their heads down. Look at Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus is the lifter of our heads. He's the one that lifts us up. When that sepulcher stone was rolled away and Jesus stepped out, the fullness of God stepped into our lives. When we receive him as our way, our truth, and our life, when we come and we become born again according to the word of God, that in John chapter 12 and verse 23, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. He's glorified in his obedience. He was obedient to the Father coming and laying down his life. He was obedient to the Father when he picked up his life and he came back with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He was obedient in it all. And the hour has come for him to be glorified in our lives, where we start to walk just as he said. What did he say? Well, when the angel, before Jesus even walked out, he said, "Hey, don't be afraid. You thought he was dead. He's not. He's alive and well. He has overcome. He has overcome. He has the victory. He is the victory. He will always be our victory." And Jesus, the first thing he says in Matthew, as he steps out, he said, "Hey, don't be afraid." What a beautiful message for us. Look at church. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't fret. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. He's already taking care of your yesterdays and your tomorrows. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and he makes a way where there seems to be no way. Just as he said, has to come back into play in each one of our lives as we're reminded that he has overcome the greatest fear that all men have, and that is death. But he conquered it. And that's why, as I said in the beginning, the Old Testament says that they had died. The New Testament, they use the terminology of they were asleep. And because there's an expectation of waking up, the scripture says, be absent from the body is present with the Lord. And what a glorious thought that is, that the moment you close your eyes here and you arise, you're in the presence of your God and you walk with him. There is no hesitation. There is no holdup. There is no sitting around or waiting to be absent. The moment we close our eyes, the moment we're reminded of what he said. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verses 55 to 57, it says, "O death, where is your victory? O grave, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Our Lord Jesus Christ, not only did he rise from the grave, over 500 people saw him walking around. Over 500 saw him in his natural body. They put their hands, their fingers, Thomas, in the holes of his hands, in his feet, and in his side. They saw the holes, his natural body. He was raised from the dead. They all saw him. He still shared many things with them, the scripture says, over the next 40 days until he ascended to his throne with the Father. And he said, look it, from here on out, death has no sting. From here on out, the grave has no victory. None whatsoever. Because the scripture says that if you die, yet shall you live. Even if you die, yet shall you live in John. And if that's the case, the question then is, do you believe it at the end of that verse? And I want to encourage you, just as he said, it will happen. Just as he said, it will be accomplished. He said, look at, if you close your eyes here, you're going to open up in my presence and you're going to get a glorified body. A body that won't break down. And once again, we want to be reminded, he is risen, and you say, he is risen indeed. And I pray that he's alive and well in your life. That as he stepped out of that grave and he conquered death, hell, and the sin, darkness no longer has dominion over you. Sin no longer has dominion over you, because that's what he said. Just as he said, you truly are free indeed for those that know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And this morning, As we walk in that truth, we walk in a freedom. We walk in a joy. We walk in a peace, because our God has conquered it all. Our Jesus, our personal Lord and Savior, the one who came alongside of us, and he said, remember me. I'm the one that paid for all of your sin. Remember me. I'm the one that defeated the grave. I'm the one that went down into the depths of darkness. And I believe that there was screaming and weeping and gnashing of teeth when he went down there. But it was because they knew they had been beaten. Because the light of the world stepped down into darkness, defeated the enemy, and said, I win. And one of the most wonderful thoughts as we read the scriptures, and it's just as he said, that as he came out of the tomb, many of those that had died in faith were seen walking around. Oh, to see that moment, to be there for that moment. Once again, no one could even fathom that thought process of something coming alive. Someone who has been dead and yet walking around again. With God, all things become possible. And it was a complete work that he had done at Calvary. It was a complete work that was finalized in the resurrection. Listen, without the resurrection, Jesus being born isn't that big a deal. But because of the resurrection, oh, see, this is that day that sets our religion apart from everything else. This is the truth, the one and only. For we have the one God who raised himself from the dead when man crucified him. We have the way, we have the truth, and therefore we walk in the light as he is in the light. You know, there's many out there right now that we've gotten phone calls or texts, and some of them have been afraid. Listen, if you've got fear, we know according to what the Word of God says that it's a spirit. And he said that we have the authority to cast that out. But you know what? If you've got fear in your life, whoever you are, you want to give us a call at 518-828-2444. We'll be there to pray for you. Maybe you've got a sickness or something that's going on. We believe that Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. We believe what he said, just as he said that those stripes that he bore at Calvary were for our healing, not only our healing, but the healing of the nations. That's what our Christ is for. We believe that fear is destroyed. We believe that sins are forgiven or washed away, thrown as far as the east is from the west into the deepest ocean, never to be remembered again, because it's just as he said. If you're not sure about your salvation, we're going to pray this prayer. But maybe if you have some questions, give us a call. Give us a call, because we'd love to help you grow stronger. We'd love to get you to a place where there'd be no doubt that you understood just what he said. He said this morning that he loves you. He said this morning that he has gone to the cross because of you. And yet, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the scripture says. Just as he said, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. A love laying down his life for those who wanted nothing to do with him. That's power. Jesus came to earth with a power that man couldn't understand. Man couldn't understand what he was doing, what he was about to do. Everywhere he walked and he spoke, it baffled men. Even the ones that were closest to him, they said, we don't understand. And he had to put it in parables about sowing seed, the natural things of this world. And then eventually, after the resurrection, their eyes were open when the Spirit of God was given and poured out to them. And now they understood in a greater way, for they saw the death, the burial, and the resurrection. They saw the three phases of Jesus Christ changing the world forever. And that's what he wants to do this morning. I believe that he wants to change your life forever this morning, because he is risen. And you say, he's risen indeed. Sin, death, judgment, they've all been paid for. Listen, the wrath of God has been turned away from you. No longer is the wrath of God towards you. You're free in Jesus Christ. And we're here to serve in every situation. No matter what's going on around the world, our job as sons and daughters of God, knowing that we have given ourselves to the King of Glory. And just as he says, if you want to live your life, you're going to have to lay your life down. Because until a seed is put into the ground and dies, it cannot produce fruit. And so each one of us in our own arrogance, in our pride, in our selfishness, please, please, you can see the selfishness when you walk into the stores these days. You can see the fear all over people's faces. Not ours. Not ours, because he has risen indeed into our lives. He has given us the victory. He said, I'll go before you. He said, I will never leave you. I'll always supply your needs. No matter where you walk, I'm going to go before you. No matter what, when you need a strong tower, guess what? I'll be there. Every time, for every need, in every situation, God has already given us the answer, just as he said. And so therefore, when we walk into the stores, we walk into that freedom that God has given us. Wait a minute. Death has no authority over me any longer. Why? Because even if I die, yet shall I live, and I believe this. Therefore, sin no longer has dominion over me. I'm not a slave to sin. Now I'm a slave to righteousness. And in my righteousness, in my right standing with Jesus Christ, because the blood that was shed, the stripes that were bore on Calvary, now in that righteousness, as we've been speaking about in Romans, where it says that the gift is greater than the transgression. So many focus on the transgression. Not today. Because up from the grave he arose to wipe away all of your sins. He did it all for one purpose, that you would live in victory. And you would have a relationship with the Father. Today, I want to close in prayer and encourage you. What a day to be alive. For every Christian around the world, we're those that have been created for this time. We've been pouring the Word of God into our hearts, into our minds, no longer controlled by the foolishness of this world. Our desires are not earthly and fleshly. Don't put your treasures where rust can destroy, where the moth can eat it or thief can steal, but put your treasures in heaven, sharing in all that we have with those that are in need. We've been feeding over 300 people a week here. And 110 families, I think Lisa said this Friday. We're going to keep serving. Why? Because we're the most essential people on this planet. That's who you are. Come on, look at the person in you, next to you, and tell them, I'm the most essential person on this planet because I have the words of life. I have the words that he said, and it is just as he said. Therefore, when I speak the words of God, the very power from eternity starts to flow through me. People's hearts and lives are changed, and life is birthed when we speak. When we go into the stores, no matter where we walk, we speak life. We speak health. We speak peace. We speak joy. And if it's the last one on the shelf, just give it to the person behind you. Say, that's all right. My God supplies. He supplies all of my needs here. Let us show them who Jesus Christ is in the way that we live. Overcomers, victorious, we're triumphant. No matter where we walk, we're triumphant. Because of the Christ that lives on the inside of us. So this morning, as we prepare to pray, I just ask you to bow your heads and just agree with me in prayer. Just agree, because I'm going to say what the Word says so you can say what he said. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, and that born again is just simply receiving Christ as your Savior. So let's pray. And I want you to agree with me and say, Father, I come before you right now. I agree that what you have said, you have accomplished at Calvary and rising on the third day. I agree that you're seated at the right hand of the Father. Today, I agree that you are my Lord and Savior. I make a decision and I receive you as my Christ, my anointed one. The one who is my Lord over every area of my life and my Savior. And Father, I thank you that I'm able to believe according to your word. And now I have been made born again. And now I'm going to pray for you. Father, I just break every curse in the name of Jesus. Lord, we break the power, the spirit of fear. Get out in the name of Jesus, every house. Get out. For Lord, you fill every room, every house, every heart, oh God, right now, in the name of Jesus. Fill them up, Father. Let there be no other thoughts in their mind except, wait a minute, I know my God is able. I know my God is for me. I know my God is with me. I agree that he was crucified. He was buried. On the third day, he rose and he took with him death, hell, and the grave. He destroyed. No longer does sin have any authority over me. I am free indeed. And Lord, this morning, as we agree that we're free indeed, we're free because of your purpose and your plan and your word. We stand on it. We walk in it. We thank you for it. We bow before you this morning as we remember the resurrection. As we remember this resurrection Sunday, that everything that you promised, you fulfilled. We'll stand on your word all the days of our lives, and we'll change other people's lives because of you and the strength that you give us through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe that's you this morning, and as you've received Christ, listen, if you want to know more about your walk, give us a call, 518-828-2444. Go on the website, send us a note, go on Facebook. And please share the video today. We want to touch as many houses as we possibly can. We want those that are afraid. We want those that never heard. We want those that are thinking wrong thoughts, whether it's suicidal thoughts or thoughts of depression or whatever they are, thoughts that are contrary to what God has promised us. We want them to be able to hear this, and we want to draw them into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So share the video. Give us a call. We love you. God bless you. We're so thankful. And remember today, he is risen. Come on, I can't hear you. He is risen. Come on, I can't hear you. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And he is risen over your lives. Your houses are free from oppression in the name of Jesus. Your houses are free from fear in the name of Jesus. Now live a life that's worthy of the King. As sons and daughters of God, God bless you and have a wonderful Resurrection Sunday.